This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Everybody, happy Monday, April 25th. Month is winding down here. Just asking everybody to be patient. I got a bunch of emails over the weekend. The weekend is usually the worst time for me as far as answering emails. I get to a few of them, on my phone, but for the most part, especially when I get notes requests, I'm not able to do that until Monday, so be patient. I'll get to it sometime later today if you haven't heard back from me yet. Anyway, I was supposed to be picking up my discussion from Friday, but had a little turn of events over the weekend. A listener had recommended this author that I get her on, and I haven't actually read her book yet. I do intend to get it. But I figured who better to discuss the issue than the author herself. And so here she is. Her name is Genis. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. Genis Barcelo. Did I pronounce that right?
My name is Genis.
Genis. Okay. I thought I was crucifying that name. Sorry about that. Anyway, she's the author of Birth Trauma and the Dark Side of Modern Medicine. The subtitle is Exposing Systematic Violence During Hospital Birth and the Hijacking of Human Love. With a title like that, I just had to get her on. So thanks to the listener who recommended her. Anyway, yeah, let's delve into this. I was looking through the chapter titles, and it sounds very intriguing. I can't wait to hear. This is going to be a learning experience for myself as well as the listeners. I'll basically give you the floor. I'll jump in with comments and questions here and there. But did you want to go through the book, like chapter by chapter, break it down, or?
Well, I guess I could start by asking you if you've had children.
Two, yeah, and I was present for both of their births.
In the hospital?
Yeah, they actually let me, which was forbidden years ago. But yeah, I didn't even wear. The doctor's robe or whatever. I was just in plain clothes, and they let me hold the baby right out of the womb. It was a pretty amazing experience. It's traumatic, definitely traumatic for both mother and baby.
But not for you.
Amazingly, I have to say this. My ex never freaked out. And she refused painkillers. Yet, you could hear in the other delivery rooms, the mothers just spazzing, swearing, screaming, yelling, kicking, moaning, fussing. The nurses were abuzz, that my ex wasn't freaking out, especially without drugs. I couldn't believe it. I don't know how, you could just see the pain in her face. You knew it wasn't a pleasant experience, but no, she did it without drugs or anything. So that was pretty cool. I was impressed. I freaked out when I saw the placenta. I didn't know what the hell that was. I thought that stayed in there, just the baby came out. I thought she lost an organ or something. I was panicking.
It is an organ, actually.
Yeah. But I mean, like a vital organ. I didn't know what it was. I'm like, what the heck is that?
Oh, wow. Well, it's important for people to understand that the pain that women are experiencing is not normal. It's definitely a result of our approach to conception and gestation and birth. And in large part, the drugs that they're giving women to speed labor up, one of them is called Pitocin, and it's synthetic oxytocin, and it creates sort of unrelenting, extremely intense, over-the-top contractions, just ridiculously painful contractions that are not normal, and in between which there is no rest, unlike in a natural birth when a contraction will build and it will peak for about 20 seconds and then ease off and the body will rest. With the drugs that they're giving women, there is no rest in between these unbelievably painful contractions. And so this is what's driving women to scream and carry on and beg for the epidural. And we have to understand that what they're doing to us is part of what's causing all of that pain. And that is not part of the original design. I mean, you have a host on your station, Sinead, who has given birth, you know, naturally at home and can tell you guys the difference, you know, between what she experienced and what women in a hospital are experiencing. And it is pretty much night and day in wow. terms of the ability to experience deep love and joy at birth and ease in giving birth.
Now, I might be getting ahead of myself here, but I know that there's stories of babies, you know, actually suffering so traumatically that it stays with them without them necessarily even being conscious of it. For example, you know, circumcision. People are known yeah. adult life to actually have traumatic memories of this, and it does affect them in adverse ways. Would you say that would be the same case with, you know, hospital birthing and maximizing the suffering?
I would say every single thing that they are doing, starting in pregnancy with ultrasound, is an attack on us and is definitely influencing our psyche for life. It affects us in large part because we don't remember it consciously. It's in our cells. It's in the recesses of the reptilian and limbic brain, and it drives our behavior and it drives our choices, but we don't have any conscious understanding of what happened to us unless somebody like me comes along and points out what's been done to us. And then the memories begin to be made conscious and they can heal. But until that time, they do drive behavior. And of course, circumcision, because it's being done to baby boys without anesthetic, and because it is, in essence, it is satanic ritual abuse, there is no benefit, zero, to cutting off a healthy body part off of an infant, especially a genital body part. It is a sadistic Jewish practice that has been mainstreamed because they took over the medical system. It is absolutely evil to the core, and it is harming American men in large numbers at this point who are not even Jewish, and it has to stop. People need to begin to ask questions and to look at this very evil medical system that has its roots in Satanism. I can't be any more direct than to say every single thing that they do is intended to cause harm. And people will not believe me until we go through each protocol, point for point, step for step, and look at the effects that this is having on us long term. You will begin to understand why people are not bonding with their children, why their relationships are breaking down, why families can't stay together.
And we know that that's part of their agenda, the breaking up of the family. It's right in the
absolutely
its manifesto. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Breaking mankind's ability to love is a core weapon against us. It's one of the primary gifts. You know, human love is a gift that we've been blessed with from the Creator, and all life forms benefit from our love. Seriously, any animal that you direct your loving attention to will benefit from your love. Any child, any adult.
Oh, I can attest to that.
Even a flower, you know, that you gaze upon with your love. All of these living things benefit from human love. And all living things are in pain because of the lack of it.
Yeah, I can attest to that, you know, from my own experience. I've had many pets over the years, and I don't care what the experts say, pets do have emotions. They do have appreciation for, you know, what you do for them. And I mean, why does a cat leave a mouse on your doorstep? It's repaying you. And it's, you know, naive way, but, you know, it's paying you back for what you're doing for it. It, you know.
All animals have emotions just like we do, and people can live in denial of that fact and pretend that these animals have no feelings, and that makes them able to eat them. But it is, that's also part of the satanic agenda, to get us to participate in activities that are extremely harmful for our soul and extremely harmful for other living things. So our entire society at this point is influenced by the Luciferian forces, and we may not be willing to look at that or may find difficulty in accepting that, but it is everywhere. Something very simple, like putting pesticides on your lawn, for example, you're involved in a culture of death. Okay, you're killing every life form that exists in the soil. Right. If the birds eat anything that grows in your soil, they could die. If your children and your pets walk on that soil after it's been poisoned, they can become very sick. Yeah. And, of course, mankind is becoming increasingly sick.
Well, it's like antibiotics. You know, it's a quick fix for something that could be fixed in many other different ways that aren't going to be so toxic to your system. It kills all the healthy bacteria. It makes you more susceptible to disease, you know, to invasiveness in the body. It's just absolutely the very opposite of what people should be doing.
Well, this is part of the medical system's plan, you know. There is no health to be found in the American medical system. I'm sorry, they have chemicals that they give people they call medicine, which will suppress symptoms, but they have no ability to uncover what is the cause of these problems, right, and how can we actually restore health to the body. And the restoration of health means you have to step away from the satanic system, like step away from poisoning your property, poisoning yourself through your food, through your drugs, through your house cleaning chemicals, and, you know, the stuff you wash your hair with and wash your skin with is probably filled with chemicals. The stuff you wash your clothes with, your dishes. I mean, most people are poisoning themselves all day long with all of the products that they purchase because they have not paid attention to the larger agenda. And what is behind it? Why are we exposing ourselves and our children to these poisons? It's insane. We have gone insane. And a question needs to be asked is, why are we marching into hospitals, which are temples of the occult, literally, and giving birth to our children in an arena that is filled with disease and toxicity and extreme trauma and death?
Right.
Do you really think that this is a healthy environment in which to give birth to a child? But nobody's thinking about it. See, people are on automatic pilot based on mind control. And this is why they do what they do. They are not thinking. And they are certainly not feeling what's going on, because their bodies are probably screaming at them, please stop, I'm getting more and more sick every day. Please don't go into this place to give birth. A lot of women, as soon as they walk into the hospital, their bodies will lock up in fear, and the birth process will slow down. And this is because the body knows, right? The body has memories of being born in a hospital, number one, and it is saying, not safe, not safe, not safe. So it locks up, and the whole birth process slows down, and of course it becomes more painful when there's fear and when there's constriction and restriction in the body from the fear. So mind control is what is making us do these things, and breaking down the mind control can be extremely uncomfortable. So I want to warn people, you know, as I go through this, there can be a lot of physiological discomfort. And it's not easy to hear the things that I'm going to say. And I'm sorry for that. I really don't like to cause people to be in emotional pain. But we are, the emotional pain that we have not addressed is driving our behavior and causing us to engage in activities that are harmful to ourselves and our children. And it's urgently necessary for us to bring the unconscious to the conscious mind so
absolutely
that we can heal it.
And so you know what? Can you come closer to the phone? It seems like you backed away and your volume has dropped.
That's interesting. I have you on speaker now, and is that working better?
You're sounding better now, but you had faded all of a sudden. Maybe because you went on speaker. I don't know.
No, I'll keep you on speaker because obviously that's working better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
But anyway, I'm most intrigued about the, I want to hear all of what you have to say, but the satanic ritual aspect of the whole thing, I definitely want you to elaborate on that. That's very interesting.
Well, I mean, immediately, if you think about an infant boy, newborn boy, who's being strapped to a torture board called a circumstraint. Okay, his little arms are strapped in. His little legs are strapped. He cannot move anything except his head. And that head will be going back and forth, okay, as these doctors are going to be torturing him.
With no anesthesia.
Huh?
With no anesthesia.
Yeah, so what they
local
do
local or general,
they,
nothing.
Nothing. Well, 96% of the time there is nothing. No anesthetic. Sometimes, you know, I mean, the Jews will use like wine on a wet tissue or something and shove it in the baby's mouth so the baby can't scream. And I mean, people are doing really screwed up things. But 96% of the time in a hospital, there is no anesthetic whatsoever. The boys are strapped in, and they're usually covered with a sheet that has a hole in it where the penis is. And a doctor or a nurse will make the penis erect in order for it to be a little bit easier for them to work with. And once the penis is erect, they will clamp the penis.
You know, I never even thought of that, but that's another sick aspect to it. I mean, wow.
They will clamp the penis. They will... the foreskin is adhered to the glands of the penis. And what they do is they have to tear the foreskin
away
from the glands, away from the glands. And normally they'll insert a very sharp instrument between the glands and the foreskin in order to separate it. In the Jewish tradition, sometimes they use their fingernails to rip it. Rip the foreskin off of the glands of the penis, and then they cut it off. And the procedure can take anywhere from, you know, 15 minutes to 30, 40 minutes or longer.
Wow.
You have doctors who can be extremely sadistic in the sense that you may have several medical students in the room watching the procedure, and the doctor will slow the procedure down in order to explain every sadistic, cruel, mean-spirited aspect
as
of
the
this
poor baby is freaking
satanic
out.
ritual.
Yeah.
What?
As the poor baby is freaking out.
Yes, the baby will be screaming sounds.
And you know, it's
that...
not just the pain. It's also the psychological aspect, because this poor baby knows something is wrong. It can sense it. It's being restrained. The thing is freaking out to begin with. The trauma of, you know, being with this stranger, it recognizes it's not its mother. It doesn't hear its mother's voice that it could hear from in the womb. It's separated from the mother. I mean, that's traumatic to begin with. The baby knows it's not being, you know, embraced and shown affection. You know, it's a very cold and foreboding environment to begin with. And then to face that pain, it's trauma to the max.
It's cruel and it's evil. It's absolutely evil. And the Jewish people, I say the word people loosely because these entities are not, they're not human. I'm sorry. They have no feeling. They have no capacity to feel.
I document that on this show all the time. Absolutely true.
They took over the medical system and created all these medical journals in which they could publish articles that are filled with fake science, or I'm going to call it satanic science, because it has no basis in the goodness of creation. It's all designed to...
They're neutralizing their sadism is what they're doing.
Well, the science is designed to trick people into believing there's a benefit.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a benefit to nuclear radiation or a benefit to GMO foods or a benefit to vaccines or a benefit to circumcision. It's all bunk. It's all bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's all lies. It's all just a bunch of nonsense. And it is harming people. Everything they do is harmful. So science has been used to deny us truth and to put in place so much evil stuff that's happening in our world. And I just named a few: fluoride in our drinking water, mercury in our dental fillings. You know, the list is endless what they've done with science. And this is what they've done with circumcision, too. They've made people believe, the creator made a mistake. And we could make your penis better by cutting off the most sensitive part of it, a part of your penis that is, you know, specifically designed so that when it meets with the vaginal wall, it will trigger the male brain to produce neurochemicals of love and bonding.
Yeah.
And they're going to cut that off in infancy in the most cruel and abusive way. This is why I say it is satanic ritual abuse.
Yeah.
It is designed to torture. It is designed to alter the way the brain works. It is designed to create a memory of trauma and also to create dissociation. Do you know what dissociation is?
Disassociation, but dissociation?
You know, when a baby is being circumcised, you'll hear screams like you've never heard and will never hear again. At some point, very often, the child will stop screaming. This means the baby has gone into shock, what they call parasympathetic shock.
Trauma.
So you'll see the baby's eyes glaze over. The baby's heart rate will slow down. It's like a temporary paralysis.
Yeah.
That the body
probably
will go
endorphins are released, and you suffer brain damage as a result.
Absolutely, it does cause brain damage, and it's similar to what the animals do when they freeze. If you can't fight and you can't flee, the system will go into a freeze in order to survive.
I mean, that's what they do, as I'm sure you're aware, with MK Ultra. You produce a state where, you know, you enter an alternate to protect yourself. It can induce, you know, like multiple personality syndrome.
That's what I'm trying to say, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're trying to get the spirit to leave the body, which it does, because the part of us that feels everything is really our soul, and they want the soul out of the body so that they can control the body and so that they can put in an alter personality that will be in service to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is what they're doing with circumcision. This is what they're doing with cesarean section. This is what they're doing with, there's so much slicing and dicing that goes on with a birth, episiotomy being another form of extreme sexual violence that has no benefit whatsoever. Okay, they slice and dice and they try to get the spirit to leave the body so that people will be walking around in a state of mind-controlled hypnosis with no ability really to connect with their soul. If we had the ability to connect with our soul, people would easily see what I see. It would be a no-brainer. But people do not. People do not even see the chemtrails. Another gift delivered to us through satanic science. People do not see them.
Right.
Because they are under mind control hypnosis. And this is beginning with the sadistic birth process in hospitals that are totally controlled. The Rockefellers, who are actually the Rockenfelders, they are Jews.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Took over the medical system, and they are the ones that have put all of this into place. The whole medical system is controlled by Luciferian forces.
Yeah.
The medical schools are controlled by the same Luciferian forces. Those who become doctors through medical school are put through a process of trauma-based mind control in order to become doctors and in order to become willing to do the horrific things that they are doing as doctors.
Right.
But like circumcision. You cannot be connected to your soul and torturing infants. That is not a possibility.
Strips you of your humanity, yeah.
You have to be separated from your soul. You have to be under mind control. Either that or you have to be an entity that has been created by the Creator's adversary who has no feelings. All right, the Creator's adversary thought that it would be better to have beings that didn't have feelings, that were operating solely from intellect and what they call efficiency. And we have these beings living with us on our planet who have a very similar skin suit and outer appearance, but they are not the same.
You know, that's a very good point, because if they can desensitize you, they will either recruit you to work for them more easily, or at least make you anesthetized to this, you know, you become desensitized so that you won't be a problem. You won't resist them, or both.
Exactly. Exactly. This is why we have, you know, men signing up for the military or becoming police officers to be in service to these dark forces. All right. They're not in their right mind.
Hmm. Yeah, very good point.
So neither are the people who are working for the medical system. You cannot be in that kind of an environment and be in your right mind. It's not, I mean, there's good people working in there trying to do good, but at some level they must separate themselves from their soul because the activities engaged in are evil.
Very good points. I tell you what, we'll get a short break, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back on this guest.
Now, let's hear from a Jewish academic. My concern is doing away with whiteness. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression, sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression, and it is not. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacists. In the same way, if you abolish racial oppression, you do away with whiteness. Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity.
Your views are fairly well received in academia.
Yes, they're legitimate. Not to say that everyone agrees, but sure. And the task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce it.
Everybody, welcome back. Once again, my guest today is
Janice.
Yeah, I don't know why I forgot how to pronounce that. Janice Barcelo, and we're talking about her book, Birth Trauma and the Dark Side of Modern Medicine. You know, that's a very good point. You don't really, even those of us who are aware of the string pullers in our society sabotaging everything, there's so many things we really just take for granted. We don't stop to really think about. But as you begin to contemplate this and break it down, you realize, I mean, I know the whole medical system is a fraud. I've known it for years. But sometimes you really don't stop to realize how bad it actually is until you start breaking it down like what you're doing now. And you realize, oh, my God, you know that what they're doing it on purpose and it's all about profit, you know. But it's worse than that. It's not just about money and they don't care about your health. They want to screw you up in a most demonic, evil fashion.
That's exactly right. And it's not about the money because they can just print more of it.
Right.
Okay. You have to remember that they're just manufacturing this money out of thin air. And it's paper is what it is. And they've created a system into which we are indoctrinated through hospital birth. And so we think it's normal, but there's nothing normal about any living thing having to pay to live on the earth or having to get up every day and go to somewhere where they don't want to be and use their intelligence and their energy to participate in something that they don't want to be doing in order to survive. None of this is natural. None of this is part of the divine plan. This is all an aberration.
It sucks the life out of you, something that began at the time of birth.
It begins even before birth. You know, I just gave a talk at the Free Your Mind conference regarding the way that we're being manipulated around sexuality. And pornography, of course, is also controlled by these Luciferian
sure.
Jews.
Yeah.
And the way that we are having sex, the way that we are being conditioned to have sex and to create children, as a side effect of carnal impulse, is definitely having an impact on us and to our detriment. And it's altering our ability to communicate with the divine mind. And then while we're in the womb, we're under attack. So let's take this step by step. Let's
sure.
start with what's going on with what we call prenatal care. I laugh because it's freaking laughable.
Yeah.
Ultrasound. I'm writing a book right now called MK Ultrasound.
I like that.
And actually, Sinead actually helped me with that title, by the way. I should definitely give her credit for that title. What they're doing with this technology is people should understand it was created as a naval weapon. So So they would blast the ultrasound frequencies into the ocean in order to detect submarines. It started from its inception as a weapon and has continued to be a weapon. These frequencies, they have known for more than 100 years, cause brain damage and neurological disruption. They cause infertility. So if you expose the adult male scrotum to two 15-minute blasts of ultrasound, that man will be infertile for a minimum of 6 months.
Wow.
And that infertility can be permanent. So what do we think is happening to the developing testes and ovaries of a baby in the womb when we're blasting frequencies at that baby, you know, for 30 sure. minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, in order to discover the sex?
And we know they're all about sterilization and population reduction.
That's right. And, you know, during the birth process, when they use the internal fetal heart monitors, these fetal heart monitors screw into the baby's head. So they use ultrasound frequencies with these fetal heart monitors, and the baby's brain is being blasted the entire labor with ultrasound frequencies when there is a fetal heart monitor attached to the mother. In addition, they're using the ultrasound many times during pregnancy at this point. Some people have had, ultrasound every week. So we do know it's causing intrauterine growth retardation. We do know that it is a precursor to autism because of the brain damage that it's causing. It changes the cortex. The cortex being the part of our brain that communicates with the divine mind, and that controls our impulses. All right, that is becoming totally damaged, and the more ultrasound, the worse it becomes.
Wow.
So there's many other things. It alters DNA. There's so much that I could say about this technology, but suffice to say, there is no benefit. All right, there are no better outcomes for these children by being blasted with this technology. None. It is only causing more C-sections, more unnecessary abortions, because they'll go in and they'll say, oh, you know, there's something wrong with your baby, and the mother will say, okay, I'll abort my baby. The baby comes out fine. There was nothing wrong.
And clearly they know all this, of course. That's what it's designed for.
Well, this is exactly. Abortion is another form of satanic sacrifice. It is human sacrifice because they are using our babies' bodies for, as you know, Planned Parenthood is selling body parts. They are using... In Oregon, they're burning aborted babies to create electricity for their hospitals. Okay, they're using aborted baby parts in vaccines.
Right.
They're using aborted baby parts in what they're calling, flavor-enhancing research.
Sure.
Okay, there's a company in California called Sinomics that does what's called flavor-enhancing research with human kidney cells taken from aborted babies. So companies like Lipton and Kraft and Pepsi, who have hired Sinomics to do their flavor-enhancing research, have residue of aborted babies in their products. And people are cannibalizing aborted babies. And it's really no different than eating meat. We have become satanic.
Yeah.
On every level. We have become addicted to eating adrenalized blood from animals that have been tortured and murdered in the most brutal way. We become addicted to the adrenalized blood just like the Satanists do, because they also drink blood. Why do you think they're clamping and cutting the umbilical cord of babies and stealing the cord blood? there is no benefit to taking an infant's cord blood away from the infant. The infant needs that cord blood. That's actually one-third of the baby's blood supply that they're stealing.
They've taken this ancient practice of human sacrifice and disguised it under the guise of modern medicine. You know, just like war. War is mass human sacrifice. People don't realize, you know, it's the way they portray it that it's not seen for what it is. It's mass extermination.
Absolutely. That's what abortion is. And they, you know, are conditioning young people to have lots and lots of sex. That's what Planned Parenthood teaches them in the schools. That's what Common Core is designed to do, is to manipulate them into having more and more sex, so that they can create more and more unwanted babies and abort them. And this is all human sacrifice. This is all Satanism. Every aspect, every step of this thing, including the way that we're having sex, is Luciferian to the core.
Systematically degenerating society.
It is. It's becoming Luciferian filth. You know, they are mainstreaming right now pedophilia.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're attempting to do. And, of course, we know who's behind it. Their Talmud says it's okay to have sex with three-year-olds. Again, it's a good thing to steal the purity and the life force of children, because they think it will keep them young. It's why they drink their blood.
Yeah.
Right? They think it will keep them youthful. These people, again, I say people loosely, these entities are completely disgusting.
Sick isn't even strong enough of a word. Yeah, yeah.
Everything they do is repulsive to the core. And we're participating. You know, when you go to a hospital to give birth, see, the fathers are being really tricked, because they'll say, the doctors will turn around and say to the doctor, to the father, would you like to cut your baby's umbilical cord? Would you like to initiate your baby into the Luciferian order?
Yeah, right.
So that we can steal the baby's cord blood and the placenta and sell it off to the highest Luciferian bidder? That's what's really going on.
Sure.
All right, nobody should ever get their hands on your baby's blood or placenta. This is very, very important for people to understand. In indigenous cultures, like in Bali, fathers have very strict protocols that they have to follow in order to protect their baby's placenta, because they know if the wrong people get their hands on it, the baby can be negatively influenced throughout life. So why don't we know that? Why are we willingly letting them take our baby's placenta and our baby's blood? Why are we doing this? Because, as I said, we're under hypnotic mind control.
Yeah.
And we're not asking questions.
Can't see what's right in front of our eyes.
It's right in front of our eyes. Anybody that watches a baby's cord being cut can see that the baby is in trauma. That blood needs to go into the baby. It is filled with nutrients and stem cells and, you know, vital things for the baby's immune system, for the proper development of the baby's lungs and brain, and, you know, all of this blood is essential. It's also the baby's oxygen supply. So, you know, when babies come out of the womb, they're not breathing. They have not been breathing in the womb because they have all the oxygen they need that's coming through the blood. And the same thing when they come out. If they're born in water, for example, you could leave them underwater for quite a while. Let's say 5 minutes. I'm not recommending people do this, but you could. And the baby would be fine. It would not need to breathe because it is getting all the oxygen from the blood. But when you clamp and cut the cord and take the blood that should be going into your baby's body, you're cutting off the baby's oxygen supply, of course, depriving the baby's brain and body of that oxygen.
right,
and causing brain damage. This is why a lot of babies are ending up in neonatal intensive care units. 1 out of 10. That's absurd.
Wow.
Has spent time in a torture chamber called a NICU. These are torture chambers for infants.
Yeah.
These are sadistic, unbelievable what they're doing to babies in the NICU. And trust me, I had a baby in a NICU, so I witnessed it. I lived it firsthand. This is what shook me up to my core, was watching what they were doing to my baby. And this is why I'm on the path I'm on right now, exposing these bastards for what they're doing.
And then, the vitamin K tests, pricking their feet, and then rubbing their eyes with ointment and burns. Just one traumatic onslaught after another.
Well, it's very systematic, as the title of my book suggests. So the eye ointment, for example, is designed to block eye contact between the baby and its parents. Eye contact is a primary means to activate the neurobiology of love. Eye contact, skin-to-skin contact, the scent, activating the olfactory system, all of these things are part of how the brain is triggered to produce the neurochemicals of love. So they are going to do everything they can to interfere with that. That's what the eye ointment is really about. That's what the hats are about. All right, there's pheromones coming off the baby's head. And these pheromones allow the parents to smell the baby's head, right, and to identify that child as their own and to fall in love with their baby. But that's not going to happen with the hat on, because the hat blocks that connection. The same thing with swaddling. Swaddling is a form of torture. I invite any adult to consider what it would be like to be mummified in a blanket that's wrapped so tightly around your body that you cannot move your arms or your legs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And we're doing this regularly to our babies to get them to shut up, to get them to dissociate, to get them to not be screaming because of the trauma that has been inflicted on them by these sadists. And that trauma includes swaddling. Okay, what swaddling does is it prevents skin-to-skin contact between the baby and its parents. So that skin-to-skin is necessary. The baby, when it's born, needs to be put skin-to-skin with its mother or its father, with somebody that loves that baby. All right, and then you could smell the baby. The baby can hear the heartbeat. The baby can look in the eyes of its parents. This is the way of family bonds. This is absolutely essential for the proper development of the baby's brain and nervous system and for that baby's ability to love and for the parent's ability to love their baby and bond with their baby. When they interfere with it, which they do every step of the way, every
yeah.
single thing that they do, interferes with love, okay? It is interrupting the child's oxytocin receptor sites for life. Our oxytocin is the hormone of love. It's the hormone of human bonding. It's the hormone that makes a person able to experience the neurobiology of love. The neurobiology of love being a very physiological experience of love. It's when all of these love chemicals flood the system and the system just, you know, expands and bursts with feelings of love that cannot be compared to the word love. You have to experience this to know what I'm talking about, and most people have never experienced it. Right, we've been conditioned to accept a cheap substitute called orgasm that is not a millionth part of how powerful the feeling of love is. Orgasm cannot compare to what I'm expressing right now about what the neurobiology of love should feel like.
Right.
We should all be able to experience it, and we don't. Most people have not.
And you mentioned the porn industry right there. That totally removes the whole element of, compassion, love, dedication, commitment, whatever. You know, it's all about lust. It's all about using people as objects for your own self-gratification, reducing them to the lowest common denominator. That's what it's all about. That's what they're about.
That is what it's about, and this is part of the pornography is a weapon, of course, and it is designed to get us to do this and to think it's normal.
Dehumanization.
Sexual objects, and to, accept orgasm as a substitute for authentic and enduring human love.
Yeah.
Really, it's just pathetic where we are. And that we haven't taken a look at it. I mean, 75 years ago, people were not having sex this way.
We're not having sex what?
In the way that we are right now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, what we're doing right now is, we call it lovemaking, but it's really, we really just want to get off.
Yeah.
And that's the core of what's going on.
Sure.
We have a lust-based sensation, and we want to act on that so that we can get off.
Yeah.
And we call it lovemaking, but there is a difference between love and orgasm.
Sure.
I'm telling you, it is a huge difference.
We actually have a caller. Do you want to take a caller now? Or?
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello, Charles.
How's it going?
And greetings, and to your guest. I have one question and then a follow-up comment. Your guest mentioned a couple of minutes ago about the umbilical cord and cutting it and the brutality involved. I was just wondering, well, first of all, I'm totally in agreement with her observation about having the child born into water and stuff. It seems to be very humane. But how do you eventually separate the umbilical cord from the body? I mean, it has to be done. How she did not
answer
explain that
question. That's an excellent question. I'm so glad you asked that question. So what you would do is you would wait until the cord turns white. Okay, so the cord when the baby's born is usually blue or purple, and you could see the blood pulsing through the cord. Right, when all of the blood has reached the baby, the cord will be flat and it will be white.
The baby has gained everything from it that it's going to get.
Meaning there's no oxygen left. If it turns blue, there's no oxygen left, correct? Is that correct? Am I assuming that?
No, if it's blue, then there's blood in the umbilical cord.
Oh, okay.
It has to be white.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the baby has gained everything it's going to get from the umbilical cord before you.
But how do you separate that then from the body? Do you have to use a blade, or is it something more humane? That's what I'm saying.
People do rituals. First of all, let me explain the physiology of birth. The baby's going to come out. It's going to be attached to the umbilical cord and the placenta, which is still inside the mother's body. Yes. Then the placenta will come out. So now you have a baby, an umbilical cord, and a placenta, all one unit. All right, they're all connected. And the placenta and the baby have a very strong relationship, spiritually speaking, which, if you remind me, I'd like to talk about. But once that cord turns white, some people do a burning ceremony to separate the baby from the umbilical cord. Some people simply tie a knot and cut it. You know, some people do what's called lotus birth, which is a very interesting ritual where you don't cut the cord. You keep the baby attached to its placenta until it falls off, until the umbilical cord falls off naturally, which takes between 3 and 7 days. So many people, and I'm in agreement with this, I think it's the gentlest thing to do for the baby because it lets the baby decide when to part with its placenta. And again, I'm going to bring up Balinese culture because, and many cultures understand that the placenta is like a spiritual guardian for the baby. They consider it a spiritual twin or an angel or something that is there to spiritually protect the baby. So the placenta will break down its own body if the baby is undernourished. Okay, the placenta is there to try to protect the baby from toxins and from other harmful things. So the placenta and the baby have a relationship that we have not understood or paid attention to. And we should. We should honor that relationship, and a very beautiful thing to do is to honor it in the way of letting the baby decide when it's ready to say that it's ready to part with its placenta. And at that time, when the cord falls off, you can do another ritual of burying the placenta and planting a tree, okay, in a very special place for you and your family, so that your child can always go back to that place and reconnect and regenerate and rejuvenate itself.
Well, let's back up. After, whenever the decision is made to separate the placenta from the child, the metaphysicists say when they get slapped on the butt and they take their first breath of oxygen, of air, that sets their, that's their imprint for life. How does that dovetail with what you're saying?
In other words, they're being forced to gasp in desperation for their life, it's an imprint that sets inside the physiology and inside the mind a desperation for survival and the idea that this lifetime is going to be based on that kind of desperation. Many of us are living in that kind of a field.
Programming them from
word go. We feel terrorized.
I agree 100%. I agree with you. So, all right, so you've answered my question, so I'd like to make a comment. I drive a limo for the last 6 years on the weekends in the Chicago area that specializes in car seats for kids. And I have had hundreds of families with very young kids, from babies to backless booster seat. And I have found...
I tell you what, Carla, hold that thought. We got to cut the break.
I'll hold on to this after the break.
Sure. Yeah, be right back.
Buddy come from? Well, little Jimmy, you see, the Jews print our money out of thin air and loan it back to us with interest, thus enslaving us through their usury. Well, I never knew Jews were so good with money. Yes, little Jimmy, that's why the Jews have been kicked out of over 109 places in 79 different countries for doing the same exact thing. Wow. They certainly know how to parasite. They sure do. That's why I bank with Shekelstein Credit Union. Shekelstein Credit Union, printing money out of thin air and enslaving the goyim since 1913. Shekelstein Credit Union. They sure know how to parasite.
My body started shaking and I can't take no more. No, no. I just want to make love to you. Feel your body.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Everybody, welcome back. Yeah, Carla, you were in the middle of a point there. We got cut off.
Yeah. Back to the driving the limo and specializing in car seats for kids. I've had hundreds of instances where over the last almost 6 years, where I've had these infants strapped in to their car seat, and some of them, most of them don't say anything, but I get them constantly crying in that. And I know their parents aren't abusing them, I think, anyway. So I'm thinking, what is it about that? And I finally dawned on me that they're being strapped down for hours, because it's not just the ride from the airport. It's the 4 hours they spent traveling from California to Chicago. And I'm thinking, I probably would be that way, too.
Yeah.
Being strapped down, I can't move. I want to move. I want to flail my legs. I want to do my arms like a little baby does. And I've had only a couple, but most of them just cry like a baby cries, and then they cry themselves out. But I've had a couple that has so disturbed me because they shriek at the top of their lungs. I mean, they shriek this ear-piercing sound like they're being tortured, like with hot irons or something. And I'm thinking, why is they doing that? I mean, it's like, this doesn't seem normal. And I was wondering if your guest can comment on it.
They might be reliving their circumcision trauma. Did you hear what I said? They might be reliving their circumcision trauma.
Well, that would explain it, because the shrieking... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It may be feeling like a repeat of what happened to them earlier.
Being strapped.
Yes, exactly. It's the same thing why so many men have sleep paralysis, why they wake up and they feel like they can't move. Right? Because the body is reliving the trauma and trying to bring the trauma to the conscious mind so that it can heal. Right? But many, many circumcised men have sleep paralysis. So when you hear a baby shrieking like that, that is not normal, and obviously something has happened to that baby.
Yeah, good point.
And yes, strapping it. Thank you, caller. I don't know your name, but thank you for that observation, that even strapping an infant into a car seat is abuse. It is abuse. There is nothing normal about this.
I'm Jeff from Chicago, and you're right. It's not it is abuse, because it's not just the 30-minute trip from the airport to where they were to live. It's the 4 or 5 hours they've been in the airplane. And
it's mandated abuse. Mandated by law.
Exactly. It's mandated.
That's crazy.
And, well, thank you. And thank you, Charles.
Yeah, thanks for the call, buddy. Good point.
Right, later. Bye.
Thank you. These are great questions and great observations to begin looking at our society and seeing what we are being conditioned to do to our children. Same thing when parents go to a doctor's office and hold their baby down while these doctors are injecting their children with neurotoxic poisons.
Yeah.
And some of these babies scream as if they are being tortured, because they are.
Yeah.
Yet parents do it. Parents are complicit. Parents are participating in the torture of their children and in causing harm to their children. I mean, it's pretty hard at this stage of the game not to be aware of the fact that vaccines are causing harm. You got to be really, really, really willfully ignorant.
The ultimate desensitization, when you can allow your own kids to... You know, I remember years ago, of course, in my blissful ignorance, you know, I would very rarely did I ever take my kids to the doctor. I would have my ex do it because I just couldn't stand seeing them get a blood test or whatever. You know, the one time I took my daughter, I had to walk out of the room because I had this insatiable desire to punch the doctor. Because in my mind, he is assaulting and traumatizing my daughter. She's crying. I wanted to hurt him, but I'm thinking, no, 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 this has to be done. He's not intending to hurt her. No, he is intending to.
Yep.
And I honestly was thinking that. I can't do this. You know, this is, how can I do this? I can't participate in this, subjecting my daughter to this. Even though in my mind, I'm thinking it has to be done. I'm like, I can't do this. I told my ex after that. I said, you got to do this. You got to take her from now on. I just can't do it. So, yeah, I mean, it does violate, you know, everything in your inner being that's telling you that this isn't right. Of course, because it isn't right.
Exactly. And your body is screaming that truth.
Yeah.
Right? That's why you become physiologically uncomfortable watching what they're doing to your child. And, yes, the mind is trying to override the natural instinct to take this son of a bitch out.
Yeah.
Which is what we should have done decades ago, really. I mean, this is what we need at this point, is for people to start stepping up and protecting their children, if necessary, by violence, rather than allow our children to be injected and having their penises mutilated. I mean, it's not okay. We have to take a stand. We have to snap out of it.
Right.
You know, we've been so passive and lying to ourselves, like you said, saying they're doing it for our children's good. But it's not that every doctor is evil or that every doctor understands the agenda,
but
every doctor is under mind control.
Sure. Just
every
like
doctor.
Yeah.
And every doctor is engaged in harmful practices.
We got
to
call it
what it is. And it's up to us as parents to stop it.
We got to stop glamorizing it and glossing it over and call it what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Torture.
So do we want to go through the hospital birth protocol so people can get a little clarity about each piece?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I kind of started talking about ultrasound, so now people have an idea about how dangerous that is. But
yeah.
Right now, we have 1 in 3 babies being induced, going through what's called a birth induction. And what an induction is a chemically induced premature birth. So they're forcing babies to come out of the womb before the baby is fully developed, before the baby is ready to be born. In a natural birth, a baby will make the decision when it's ready, and it will trigger the mother's body to produce the neurochemicals of birth, right, the hormones of birth. But it's up to the baby when it's ready.
Yeah.
But the doctors are usurping the power of the baby to determine its own birthday. In other words, they're taking dominion over the baby's birth by forcing the baby to be born. And it's through very, very dangerous drugs, drugs that cause tremendous trauma to the baby and to the mother. So drugs like I mentioned earlier, Pitocin, which is synthetic oxytocin, when you put that into a mother's body, her body will not produce real oxytocin.
Wow.
At least the production of real oxytocin will be severely undermined.
Blocked, yeah.
This will influence the mother's ability to love her baby. and to breastfeed her baby. All right, and as I mentioned earlier, Pitocin will also cause extremely intense contractions. So if the mother's in pain, what do we think is happening to the baby from these contractions? Mm. When the uterus is turned into a trash compactor instead of a birth portal, right, the contractions are not helping the baby, they are smashing the baby. Now, this baby will also have had probably a fetal heart monitor screwed into its head. What they do is they insert their fist inside the vagina of laboring mothers and screw this thing into the baby's head while the baby is still in the womb. So every time there's a contraction, that thing is going to be pulling and tugging at the baby's skull, causing extreme pain and trauma, in addition to the contractions causing extreme pain. Now, they also will have done something called an amniotomy, a breaking of the water. So babies are in a very watery sac when they're in the womb. And that watery sac is padding. It's protective padding. I mean, it does a lot. It's more than padding. But during the birth process, it is like padding. It's like it's to protect the baby from the intensity of uterine contractions. And they break it.
Yeah.
So now we have extremely intense contractions with no padding and a heart monitor screwed into the baby's head. So the baby is going to be in extreme pain and under extreme stress. And they know this. They know that when they use Pitocin, that the baby will go into fetal distress. And this is why they use the fetal heart monitors, so that they can monitor when the baby goes into distress, because they know the baby's going to go into distress. And they're even doing something called PIT to distress, P-I-T. PIT to distress, which is when the doctor gives the order to the nurses to give so much Pitocin that they can deliberately put the baby in distress so that they can move more quickly to a C-section. So a C-section being, they make an additional $20,000. So over the $30,000 that they would charge a couple for prenatal and birth care in this country, now they get to charge $50,000.
The ultimate insult. We're not only going to torture you, but we're going to make you pay for it in more ways than one.
We're going to make money off of it.
Yeah.
We're going to make money off of torturing you and your children.
Yeah.
And make sure we do. They do everything to disrupt the ability of that family to bond and to love. Childbirth is the most important event in a couple's life. All right, it's the most significant thing that will ever happen to that couple.
Yeah.
And they are damning it. They are cursing it. They are casting spells, literally, to stop that couple from experiencing the kind of love that should be experienced during this magnificent event called the birth of a child.
Yeah.
And you can see it in pictures. You can see the difference between the unbelievable, exquisite love that is happening during many, many home births and the unbelievable torture and trauma and grief on the faces of parents who are giving birth to their children in hospitals. I have a blog up about this. By the way, my website is birthofanewearth.com, and my blog is birthofanewearth.blogspot.com.
Yeah, I was going to ask you for your websites, yeah.
On both of these sites, I have a pictorial display of the difference between hospital birth and home birth. And people should look at this. People should see how absolutely beautiful home birth is, how unbelievably love-filled birth can be, as opposed to the trauma of hospital birth. All right, so there we are at Pitocin. People need to know induction. The word induction, what does that mean? It means you're being initiated into a cult.
Yeah.
They didn't choose the word accidentally.
Yeah, good point.
Okay? Military men are inducted into the military. Police are inducted into the police academy. This is an induction into a Luciferian cult. A death cult. And babies are being initiated through the process of induction. They're having their birth destiny usurped.
Sure.
By these bastards. And they're being tortured. All right, ultrasound also, let me say one other thing. To a adults can't hear the ultrasound frequencies, but babies can. And to a baby in the womb that's surrounded by water, it's like being in a subway station with the trains rolling in over and over again. They can hear these frequencies.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So it's a form of torture to expose the baby all through the birth process to the ultrasound through the fetal heart monitors.
I know, younger people do have more sensitive hearing than adults, but I didn't know the ultrasound itself could be heard. And I would imagine it's a very traumatic noise, too, added on all the other trauma that they're facing.
It is. And if you think about what that technology does, the dolphins and the whales, when the Navy does their ultrasound in the ocean, what they call sonar, all right, the dolphins and the whales beach themselves with brain hemorrhages. That's how lethal this stuff is.
Wow.
Now, we need to think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have induction. We talked about Pitocin. When you have Pitocin in a mother's body, it's going to cause intense contractions. Then the mother's going to beg for the epidural, right? The epidural being an anesthesia that they inject into the cerebral spinal fluid to numb the lower half of the mother's body. So once this happens, once the mother is numb through the epidural, she's not going to be able to help her baby get born. Right, because she can't stand up. She can't move. She can't even roll over by herself. She can't feel. She can't feel her baby, and she can't feel her body. So this means that the kid's on its own to get born completely. The mother's going to be on her back or on her side. If she's on her back, it's going to cut off the baby's oxygen supply. As soon as the mother lays down, the pelvis narrows. This is not a natural position for a mother to be in during birth. Birthing mothers need to be up. They need to be standing. They need to be squatting. They need to be spiraling. They need to be moving. They need to be on all fours to get into positions that their bodies instinctively know will help their baby navigate the birth process. They have to be in touch with their baby and their body. And that's totally gone with the epidural. So now baby's on its own. Baby has been completely abandoned, literally. Even though the mother's not making that conscious decision, like, let me abandon my baby, that is what the mother is doing.
That's what's happening, yeah.
When she has an epidural. And the other thing is, when the mother experiences the birth process, let's say she's feeling her baby, she's feeling her body, if the body is experiencing any pain, it will produce like beta endorphins and opiates in order to counteract any sensation of pain and to bring a sensation of goodness and well-being and joy. This is what happens in a natural birth, which is why natural birth can be so ecstatic. Okay, but if you're not feeling any pain because you've had your epidural, then those natural opiates and endorphins are not going to be produced because your brain's going to say there's nothing going on here.
Yeah.
However, those natural opiates and endorphins are necessary for the baby also to have a healthy birth experience. And they're necessary to counteract any pain that the baby may be experiencing during what we call contractions. But the mother's body's not going to be producing those things because she's had the epidural. So even though she's not feeling any pain, her baby's going to be feeling more pain. Do you understand why?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have the natural opiates
that the mother would provide. Yeah. Yeah.
To counteract.
So from every conceivable angle, everything is done to maximize the suffering, the traumatization, and the separation.
Exactly.
Incredible.
Exactly.
Dehumanization from the word go.
We haven't even touched on episiotomy and C-section, and so you know, there's so many things. I mean, there's a whole list of activities, what they call hospital birth protocols.
Just to mention this really quick too. You hear the stories of I heard this myself in some of the other rooms. You know, where the mothers were screaming and yelling. They sometimes, because the pain is so maximized, women sometimes get angry with their husband. Later, they apologize, I didn't mean it. But at the time, they do mean it because the pain is so horrible. They blame it on their husband. Yeah, I would imagine the same thing develops against the baby, too. The baby is causing me this pain. Do you see that? Have you come across that?
You know, you'll hear that a lot from mothers who choose to circumcise their sons. They'll say really sadistic things like, you know, it's the least that could happen to him after what I had to go through.
Yeah, like almost like he deserves it type of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Look at what this does. Look at the anger, the hatred, the resentment. Again, creating division and separation. Wow. Destroying the loving bond. That's what
absolutely. And there's a lot going on too with the mother and the father, because at some level the mother's gonna be thinking, why isn't he protecting me from these people?
Right. Yeah.
Why isn't he protecting the baby?
So the bond of trust is broken before it's even formed.
Exactly.
Jeez.
And most fathers can't protect their wife or their baby in a hospital because they're in a freeze, especially if they've been circumcised. They'll go into freeze mode. As soon as they get into the hospital, they'll go into parasympathetic shock. You know, because they're reliving their own trauma, even though they don't have a language to understand it. They can't speak up and they can't protect their wife and their child. And even if they try, they may be threatened.
Yeah.
In the same way I was threatened. Okay, when they were torturing my baby in a NICU, and I said to that doctor, is it really necessary for you to treat her body so violently? Of course, he threatened me to have me kicked out of the hospital, and my husband stood there in shock.
Wow.
My husband being a prime example of somebody that continuously goes into parasympathetic shock when confronted with abuse.
Yeah.
I'm no longer married to him because it destroyed our marriage, because we didn't have any understanding of what I'm talking to you about now when my baby was in a neonatal intensive care unit. So I could not forgive him for not standing up to protect us. And I'm guaranteed other women are experiencing the same thing. But they don't have a language to understand the resentment. And the fathers are feeling so much shame and guilt.
And they don't realize they're being played against each other.
That's right. It's exactly right. It's exactly right.
Wow.
So this is an attack, literally.
Yeah.
On the family. That's what hospital birth is designed to do, is to attack the children, number one, get them to dissociate. We can't have...
And it's the best form of attack because, again, your guard is not only down, but you wouldn't even think that that's what's happening. You know, you're conditioned to think that this is the best thing. This is what, you know...
You can feel it. You know, I'm aware, because I've done a lot of regression, and I'm aware of what happened at my birth. In many parts.
Isn't this what they do? I'm sorry, just really quick. Isn't this what they do to us, you know, when we go to war? They get our attention distracted away. We wind up going and fighting against people in another country that really haven't done anything to us, aren't any threat to us. The ones sending us to fight the war are the ones that are our enemies that we should be fighting against. It's the same thing in the birthing room.
Yep, that's right. So let me say this, because other people may need to hear this.
Sure.
In the 1950s, they did something called twilight sleep. Right. This was a drug, a mixture of drugs called scopolamine and Demerol that they gave to birthing mothers. Now, scopolamine is a drug that is used in MKUltra and Monarch Mind Control programming because, number one, it creates amnesia. Number two, when you give a woman or anybody scopolamine, you can tell them to go to their banks and empty out their account and give you all their money, and they will do it.
Mind control, yeah.
And they will not remember doing it. So it makes for very, very, people that will obey.
Yeah.
And will do anything they're told, and they won't remember what was done to them while they're under the effects of this drug.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what's going into mothers' bodies, combined with Demerol, which is, of course, an opiate drug. Demerol, morphine, heroin, and Pitocin. Okay, these are all opiates, basically. Not that the Pitocin causes a high in the way that Demerol does. But when you give Demerol to a birthing mother and the child is born on Demerol, because of course it's going through the umbilical cord into the baby as well, all right, a lot of these kids grow up to be addicted to opiate drugs because it's their imprinting. It's their baseline. It's the only way that they can experience the well-being, a feeling of well-being that should be coming from natural oxytocin, but is not.
Yeah.
Am I making sense? These opiate drugs are like a substitute for oxytocin.
Yeah.
And so this is why we have so many people addicted to oxycodone, right? We have a lot of drug addicts addicted to opiate drugs, and almost guaranteed they were born on opiate drugs.
Wow.
And the more research you do into this topic, the more you can see how people's drug addictions are mirroring the drugs that their mothers were given during the birth process. So it's a very, very deep what they're doing to us. And it has absolutely long-term, lifelong, if we don't make it conscious. All right, let's talk a little bit about C-section, because we also have 1 in 3 babies now being ripped out of the womb instead of being able to navigate the birth process. So in a natural birth, of course, babies are navigating the birth process with the help of their mothers, and they have that victory, a memory in their bodies that they can achieve victory even when there's difficulty, right? They can make it through. But C-section babies don't have that kind of imprinting, right? They have an imprinting that says, I need somebody to come in and save me.
Mm.
Or I need somebody to come in and do it for me. All right, they may have a memory in their bodies, something like, I try and I try, but no matter how much I try, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Somebody has to do it for me, or somebody has to do it.
So anyway, hold that thought for the break. Let's hold that back.
Here, host of The Solar Storm, a radio show with lots of interesting guests, unique analysis, important topics, and essential inspiration. You will learn how our world got to this sorry state and how we can work together to fix it, starting down the road to a better future for us and future generations. I know it can seem hopeless sometimes, but the sleeping giant has awoken. Now things are getting interesting. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on Renegade Broadcasting.
I bet we haven't even scratched the surface yet. Maybe we'll have to have you on again sometime, because this is a very important and very detailed subject. There's so many aspects to cover. You just can't do it all in 2 hours. But already what we've covered is quite revealing. Do you remember where you left off? You were talking about the baby's dependence. It's not able to do for itself.
Could you say that again? The baby's what?
Before the break, you're talking about the baby's need, its dependence, you know, that can't do for itself.
Well, I was talking about the imprinting, you know, from a cesarean birth. Hang on, let me put you on speaker again so you can hear me better.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. So I was talking about the imprinting that kind of stays with us. Whatever happens to us at birth and happens to us in the womb, it stays with us, and it influences how we experience life. So I'm pointing this out because if people are born by C-section, it's important to understand how that memory can affect your world, you know, how it can affect what's going on in your life. You may experience over and over again as you try to accomplish a task that you can't get it done, and you feel that you need other people to help you or other people to actually do it for you. And this pattern,
the condition of helplessness, and it's prone.
Yeah, and this pattern can have its roots in birth. And so if you heal the birth trauma, you can heal that pattern. Okay, in a similar way, let me say this, because what's going on in the womb is equally important. If you are in a womb where you're not wanted, okay, let's say you are an accident, you are a result, so many of us have had this, of parents who had haphazard sex because they wanted to get off, but we're dealing with life-creating potential, so boom, in comes life, you know, and that life is not wanted, all right? If you're gestating in that kind of a womb, that when your mother discovers you in there and says, you know, her thought is, oh, no, what am I going to do now? Instead of, oh, I'm so happy you're here, I can't wait to meet you, you know? If you have an imprint that says you're not loved, you're not lovable, okay, this kind of imprinting from the womb can carry forward in the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Unless you recognize where it started and find a tool to help you get it out of your nervous system and heal it.
And, you know, that's another lie they've sold us, too, that, oh, you know, the average adult can't recall anything that happened to him or her before the age of 5. Well, that isn't true. First of all, I remember things from when I was really little that blows my mother's mind. But even if you can't consciously recall events, even from the time of your birth, they are stored in your memory and they do affect you.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do on every level. Let's say you're in a womb where your parents don't get along. Yeah. You have imprinting for dysfunctional relationships.
In fact,
you will probably manifest it later in life. You may be manifesting the same kind of partner over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to work out the original wounding.
We got a caller. I'm going to go to the caller in just a minute, but I wanted to mention, the more traumatic the memory, doesn't matter how far back it goes, going right to birth, the more traumatic, the more of an effect it actually has on you. And the reason you don't recall it, yeah, sure, as you get older, it's hard for you to recall your childhood memories, but it doesn't mean they're not there and they don't affect you. But one of the reasons you don't recall them, the more traumatic they are, the more of an effect they have on you, but you don't recall them very often because the mind suppresses that.
That's right.
Because
that's
it's right. So traumatic. Anyway, yeah, let's go to our caller.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show, as always.
Yeah, thank you.
I wanted to mention, regrettably, both of my wife and I have children were born C-section. And while I don't doubt at all what's being discussed here as far as the dependency factor, I think a lot of modern-day parenting has more to do with that because both of our kids are very, very independent, independent thinkers, independent doers. We homeschool. We let them learn from their mistakes. We've never had to spank or do any type of thing like that. And they're just everything I could have ever hoped for as children. So parenting has a lot to do with this. And I think modern parenting, at least what I've observed, is extremely lacking.
I wholeheartedly agree that conscious parents can really bring healing to these kinds of imprints, you know, and help their children develop into healthy adults. Most parents are not conscious, unfortunately, and they don't recognize the trauma that they and their children have been through. And let's say I'm really delighted for you and your family that your children are turning out well and that they haven't exhibited any of the patterns that may show up as a result of C-section birth, and there's a pretty long list of these kinds of patterns. But what could happen, and this is something we need to be very, very aware of, is they could be in danger when they go to give birth of repeating the trauma. So, and with each generation, it escalates. So trauma is repetitive. Until we heal it, it will repeat itself. And this is why it's so important for people to become conscious of their birth trauma and find a way to heal it so that the repetition can come to an end and the intergenerational wounding can come to an end. So, for example, a lot of circumcised fathers will insist that their babies be circumcised too because it's too much for them to deal with the trauma. It's too much for them to admit that their parents allowed something terrible to happen to them. You know, so they'll do it to their children too, just to try to reinforce the idea that it's okay. So
yeah,
trauma
my
does
wife
get passed on. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just want to alert you for your children's sake. I don't know how old they are, but when it does come time for them to give birth, it would be very beneficial before they even conceive children for them to try to address the C-section trauma that might be holding in their body because they have no memories of natural birth. Remember that. And those memories of natural birth would influence the possibility of giving birth naturally, but their memories are of surgical birth.
Well, I wish I had heard of you before we gave birth to our children. In fact, my son did have transitional tachypnea, and he was in NICU for about a week.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, he's fine. You know, he hasn't had any real issues, and they're both extremely mentally and physically healthy kids. We chose not to circumcise, and in fact, we're congratulated by both of the birthing doctors.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yay!
Yeah, but I mean, all of the information that I've gathered from, you know, yourself and people like Charles and the other people on Renegade, this is all stuff that's going to be passed to my kids, and it already has been. So,
awesome.
You know, we're righting the ship for the next generation, so to speak. And thank you guys for all the information you provide.
You're
so welcome. Thank you for that beautiful comment.
Take care.
By the way, I encourage people to read my book. If you want to go very deep into this information, my book is called Birth Trauma and the Dark Side of Modern Medicine. You can get it on my website at birthofanewearth.com. You can also get it on Amazon. But if you go to my website and get it through me, it actually helps me. I make a little bit more money, and I can sign the book for you. So if you want to order it through me, please go to my website. Do get my book and share it with your children if they're coming of age to have relationships and possibly give birth to children so that they are aware of what's going on and so that their children can be protected. And I encourage people that have had trauma to please seek healing for the trauma. If your baby did spend time in a neonatal intensive care unit, I'm telling you, these kids are tortured. They are, I'll just tell you what happened to my baby, okay?
Intensive care. You know, before you do that, I just wanted to mention, you know, this subject would be incomplete if we didn't mention the worst trauma we subject our kids to, which follows them for life. Well, I don't know about worse, but in some ways, the Social Security number.
Yeah, that puts them in the system, but it is the way, I mean, again, we are being indoctrinated into the Luciferian order.
Yeah, right.
And that
birth.
Is part of the Luciferian order.
You're marked.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, yes, I'm sorry, go ahead. You were going to share?
I was going to share about the NICU, that babies are... you know, they're constantly jabbed several times a day. Their blood is taken and stolen from them. And they're jabbed in very, very sensitive parts of their bodies,
sure.
Like their toes, to create maximum amounts of pain. My daughter had IV lines, I mean, in her head. They tried to stick them in every vein of her body. And she had them coming out of the veins in her head. That's how many... you know, lines she had going into her. She was intubated, so they would shove the tubes down her throat, rip them out, shove them back in, up her nose, back out. All of this is done while she's on paralysis drugs, so she can't move, she can't cry, but she can feel everything.
Horrific.
They give them no anesthetic. They operate on babies with no anesthesia. Zero. None. People need to get this.
Wow.
Because, they say, babies don't feel pain. This is what the medical system has been saying for almost 100 years. And now they're coming out with some more satanic science to say, oh, look at that. Well, it looks like babies might actually be feeling pain. Really? Really, guys? Do we really need your research to determine whether our children are experiencing pain while you're cleaving open their chests?
Exactly.
And doing heart surgery?
Yeah.
Really?
That's the argument they use in the slaughterhouse. You know, animals don't have pain or emotion or, you know, to justify
exactly.
The mass slaughter.
Exactly. Yeah. They will tell parents, yeah, your baby's brain isn't developed enough to feel pain. Really? Then why is my infant screaming, shrieking, wailing?
Yeah.
Animals, when he's being circumcised.
Yeah. And they use it to justify experimentation, too, with animals. And, yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I mean, what do you
this
call that? That's psychopathy.
Satanism. This is all Satanism, and the babies in the NICU units, I mean, they're doing things like repeatedly they've done research where they'll take a group of preemies and deprive them of oxygen. They'll give one group too much and one group too little. And they say that they're doing this to find just the right, you know, place, how much oxygen a preemie should have. They've been doing this research for decades, since at least the 1950s, where they're slowly suffocating these babies
yeah.
to death.
My God.
Many of them die from lack of oxygen. Well, what do you think's going to happen when you deprive the babies of oxygen? What do we think is going to happen? They're also involved in a process called soul lifting. Right? This is a satanic process by which they are trying to slow the death process down through torture so that they can lift the souls of the people they're torturing and trap them in a matrix and force them to reincarnate back into their matrix. They do this through organ donation. If you have organ donation on your license, beware, because organs can only be harvested from living people. They have devised a fictitious diagnosis called brain death. There is no such thing as brain death. All right. Those that are deemed brain dead are very much alive.
Look what they did to Terry Schiavo.
What?
Remember Terry Schiavo a couple of years back in Florida? She was supposedly brain dead. She wasn't. She was responding with blinks of her eyes and whatnot. In any case, they literally starved her to death. They wouldn't even give her water. A 10-year-old kid went in and tried to give her a glass of water. Of course, she was a paraplegic. She couldn't drink it. But just because he had the goodwill to want to bring her a glass of water, they actually arrested the 10-year-old kid for trying to save her life. Remember, he used to get arrested for trying to take a life?
Exactly. Yep.
Incredible.
So with organ donation, too, the people are paralyzed while they're cut. They're from their neck down to their genitals. They're sliced open. Their organs are removed one by one, with the heart being the last. All of this is done with no anesthetic, only paralysis drugs, so that they are being slowly tortured to death. And, of course, they have the soul-lifting process, where they're attempting to snatch the souls and offer them up to their Luciferian god.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that they can snatch people's souls. I do believe that they can trap them. I do believe that many of us here have not incarnated by choice, that we've been in this matrix for several lifetimes, and that the only way out of this matrix is through a conscious awareness of what they're doing. And if we leave our bodies, that we're doing that consciously as well, and making the absolute determination to get out of the satanic matrix and to not come back into it. You have to think about this. You have to know how they operate in order to overcome what they're doing. And as painful as this is, you know, if we don't know, our children and we ourselves are in danger, in great danger, because these entities are, they're not like us. They don't have feelings. They don't care what they hurt, how much harm they inflict, or how much destruction they bring to our planet. In fact,
actually, they do care. They want to inflict. They can't inflict enough. They care in that sense.
Well, you have to understand, if you were the adversary of the Creator,
yeah,
okay, you would want to destroy the Creator's design.
Sure.
You would want to destroy everything the Creator has brought forth.
Right.
So this is why these entities have been created, for that express purpose, to come in, to intrude, to invade, and to destroy what the Creator has brought forth.
I agree.
Beautiful Earth, this beautiful planet in which, you know, the Creator has given us everything right from the beginning. What we call weeds is food, all right, that's healthy food that we're pouring poison on and destroying.
Yeah. Everything that's good, they want to destroy. Everything that's bad, they foist on us. Yep.
That's right. So, you know, we have to understand that this is a satanic matrix that we're in. The technological world is a Luciferian construct. It has been superimposed over the natural world, over God's order. And we have been initiated into this technocratic order, which is Luciferian to the core, and is designed to separate us from God's design. Even our houses. Okay, all other animals, they don't die if they're in a cold environment. They can regulate their body temperature. We can't. Mm. We've lost the ability because we're in artificial climates all the time, in our cars, in our homes, our air conditioning, our heat. We lose our natural ability to regulate our body temperature, and so we are the only species that would die in the cold, from the cold.
Right.
Do we think that that's because God made a mistake with us and made us inferior and weak? Or do we think that it might have something to do with the way of life that we're living? So it's urgently necessary to understand the whole of the technocratic world. Even, you know, cars and planes and trains are designed to prevent us from activating our ability to bilocate by choice, by will. We could be anywhere we want to be by thinking about it, and people are going to think that that's a totally far-fetched idea, but it's really quite natural. In the same way that telepathy is quite natural, that we can understand what other people are thinking. We can know that people are thinking about us, even what they're thinking about us, especially if we're close to them. But we lose that ability through these alphabet languages, which are sigil black magic. They're sigil magic, these alphabet languages, designed to, you know, they call it spelling for a reason, or you're writing cursive. These are spells and curses.
Interesting, yeah.
All of it, every aspect of it, of this whole technological world. Like, we're trained in school to think, oh, yeah, primitive people didn't write. Well, they didn't need to write. They understood everything. Everything.
In ancient China, ancient Egypt, it was stated, I forget now what pharaoh it was, but when writing was first introduced by Thoth, according to the legend, I believe there's truth to this legend, because the pharaoh said that writing would not be a sign of advancement. It would be a sign of, you know, degradation of society, because people would no longer commit things to memory. They would become too dependent on the written word and wouldn't use their mind as much. And it's not advancement.
And they also become unable to just access the divine mind as we should. Of course, we're horrifically brain damaged at this point. This is why we only use a very small portion of our brain potential. And most of our DNA is dormant. They call it junk DNA. It's not junk.
Baloney.
It's dormant because we've been genetically altered through the vaccines, through the GMO foods, through the nuclear radiation, through now the chemtrails. I mean, we're being genetically attacked on every level. Fluoride, mercury, everything I mentioned before, pharmaceutical drugs, we're being mind controlled.
Yep.
I mean, we are severely altered from the original design, from the creator's blueprint.
Systematically dismantling.
Because of these entities.
Yeah, as individuals and as a society, yeah.
And our society is Luciferian to the core. The whole of the technological world is a Luciferian construct designed to trap us, and it has. It has trapped the overwhelming majority of people in a job that they don't want to be doing, in a house, in a car that they're constantly doing their job to pay for, you know. No other species has to pay to live on this earth.
Living life to the minimum and paying the maximum.
Yeah, so that we can look like we're really successful because we drive a nice car or have a nice house. In the meantime, we're all hurting for love.
Yeah.
You know, our marriages are breaking down. Our relationships with our children are in trouble.
There's no happiness, peace, contentment, none of it, none of it. And people actually, don't trust each other anymore, don't care about each other anymore, only care about themselves, how much they can get, and, you know, hooray for me, the hell with you. Look what they've done. They've divided us. You have this division within families, not just, you know, neighbors and friends. Actually, I have friends I'm closer to than most of my family.
Yeah, I am the same. I mean, it's difficult when people don't want to wake up. There are solutions, though. You know, I really want to recommend that people read the Ringing Cedars books, Ringing Like a Bell and Cedars Like the Tree. Go to ringingcedars.com and get those books, because they really give us an understanding of what mankind is capable of in its pristine condition. There's a path to the future Earth, to stepping away from the technological order, you know, piece by piece, not that we have to go into crisis and allow it to just come crashing down, but that we can do it over the next couple of generations, and we can start by doing a home birth and not initiating our children into the technological order through prenatal care, and stay away from these people. Really, the only reason we go to these people is because we're afraid. But we have no reason to register our marriage with these people. It's like we're giving over our marriage to these entities by getting a license and by going into a church. And I mean, religion is another unbelievable form of mind control. It's designed to keep us away from understanding the real Creator.
Yeah.
And believing in a demonic entity that would tell people to cut off the foreskin of their babies.
Yep.
That would tell people to sacrifice their firstborn children to him. That's not the Creator, people. That is the Creator's adversary, and that is who the Jews are worshiping.
That's the devil. Yep.
Exactly.
Point that out many times. That's one of the things
that Christians have made the mistake. Okay, the Christians are also, you know, they're going to their black mass on Sunday and drinking blood and eating the body parts of a sacrificed man and hanging symbols of human sacrifice all around their home. I mean, no offense.
Talk about a death cult.
Because I think Christianity is actually a force for good on our planet, but Christians are making a huge mistake in terms of worshiping the same God that the Jews are worshiping.
Sure.
And believing that the real Creator would have sacrificed his own son.
Yep, couldn't agree more. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, and we'll have to do it again sometime. Very good information, folks. Definitely check her book out, and keep up the great work.
And now a word from the real boss of Renegade Broadcasting. You thought it was a man, but it's really a baby.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Translation, you're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
I love white people.
Translation, I love white people. And when asked what his favorite show is, he replied,
I also love radio.
Translation, Firestarter Radio. Check it out at 8 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays.